is in the air, and soon mortar boards will be flying as well as students cross the stage, grab a diploma, toss their hats in the air, and have a grad party. Then what? Well, the real world, that's what. And for thousands of years, people have been complaining that education doesn't prepare people for the real life. What do you do after you graduate? It's a tough question. Well, what if somebody had prepared a step-by-step guide of what you need to know to make a success of life after college? Would you be interested? Well, I've got just the thing for you. It's a book. It's titled, Now What, Grad? Your Path to Success After College. And as luck would have it, we have the author of that book with us to talk about what you should be thinking about as you graduate and how to make a good plan for success in life and how to make a success of it. Chris Palmer is a film and media arts professor at American University. He's also a speaker, wildlife film producer, and the author of the book that we're talking about right now. So, are you graduating this year? What parts of your future are you most concerned over? Maybe you're a recent grad. How are you navigating that transition from college to a working life? And those of you who have the knowledge of hindsight, that 2020 vision, what life lessons would you like to share with current grads? You can do that at 800-642-1234. Talk at WPR.org is our email address. And, of course, you can always go to Facebook, look for the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, and leave your comment there. Chris Palmer, welcome to the Joy Cardine program.
Thank you so much, John. I'm delighted to be with you. Thanks for having me on.
Well, I'm really glad you're here because how timely. We've got graduations happening, I think, starting this weekend all across Wisconsin. And you've been teaching college students in the media arts and filmmaking for quite a while. Why the sudden interest in helping grads find their way after graduation?
Because, John, I've noticed the suffering that goes on. The students have spent 4 years in college. They've been told to show up at 4 p.m. on Monday afternoon for a class on engineering or sociology or whatever. Their life has been fairly structured. They've been busy socializing. They've been working on their technical knowledge, whether it's in business or language or filmmaking or whatever. They've been told what to do. Suddenly, this comes to an end. Life is very unstructured. They have to find a job. They've got to do well in job interviews. It's scary. They're living in the basement of their parents' house. Life is not fun. And what I've noticed is how frightened many of them are. And I've written this book, Now What Grad, to help them.
Well, it certainly can be a time of great uncertainty because there's a lot of competition for jobs. A lot of jobs get hundreds of applicants, and you have to find a way to make yourself stand out. And, you know, typical of college students, sometimes they put these things off until the last minute. With the hindsight of your career experience so far, what's the first piece of advice that you would offer a student graduating this year?
Well, I think the first piece of advice I would say is don't get too worried about failing or failure. I've noticed that failure has a stigma to it that it doesn't really deserve. So the point I would make here, John, is that yes, failure is unpleasant, but it's an essential part of striving and learning. You know, I like to say to people that failing does not mean you are a failure. It means you are trying hard, taking risks, getting out of your comfort zone. And these are all things which are necessary precursors to success. So if you're just graduating, you know, try and fail more, I would say, paradoxically. I mean, in other words, try things, work, you know, put yourself forward, take initiative. You're going to fail. This is all part of learning, and it's the path to success.
Thomas Edison would be a great example of that.
He certainly would, and so many. If you read biographies of successful people, the thing you notice about them is how much they fail, but they don't give up. They pick themselves up. They try again. They fail again. They try again. They fail again. And this is part of success: is reacting to failure in a constructive way. So that's one fundamental piece of advice I would say to people graduating. Try hard and don't worry if you fail, just keep trying.
And what are some key life areas that new graduates have to navigate?
New life areas. I mean, this is the interesting thing, I think, John, is that so many students have devoted their 4 years to building their technical knowledge of whatever the area they're in, getting grades, focusing on their majors, and the irony is, those are things that employers are not focused on so much. I mean, obviously they want to hire people in there that have that have knowledge in their area, but what employers are also looking for are people with good people skills, people who know how to be members of a team, people know how to collaborate, people who know how to absorb and react well to criticism and feedback, people who are good-natured and pleasant to be around, people who show up on time, people who dress appropriately, people who don't have embarrassing things on their social media sites. They're looking for all these sorts of what we might call soft skills. So that's something very much to bear in mind.
Let's take a call. We have Christine joining us from La Crosse. And Christine, good morning. Welcome to the Joy Cardine Show.
Good morning. You had asked her if college grads had any advice for new high school grads. And I would say the one thing I wish I would have done was taken some time to experience something before going to college. I know they talk about the gap year now. I would have taken even more than a year because you don't really know yourself. I wasted a lot of time going for a program that really wasn't for me, and now I'm back in school for something that I love, but there was time and money wasted in the beginning because I didn't know myself. I didn't give myself a chance to experience and find out who I really was.
That is such a interesting point, Christine. Thank you for calling in. And I'm a big advocate of a gap year, and you're saying perhaps do even more than a year. I think that is so smart to take time off, to find yourself, to volunteer, to do the go for the Peace Corps, or teach, or even earn. Do a job and earn money. This is a way to discover yourself, discover what you're interested in. Some people have an epiphany about what they want to do in life. Most of us don't. Most of us have to try things to see whether we like them or not. So I value your advice on this, Christine, and thank you for calling. And I totally agree with you. And well done for being back in school. Good for you.
Christine, thanks for sharing those insights. 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. If you're graduating this year, what's on your mind? Ask Chris Palmer a question. He's got some great advice in his book. We'll get to a lot of the stuff that's in there. But you can ask a question at 800-642-1234. If you're a recent college grad, maybe you could share your experience with us. What was it like when you went out there? What do you wish you had known before you walked across the stage? And if you graduated a long time ago, what advice would you have for those who are coming along? And one of the problems that we have is so many students are coming out of college. They're afraid about all the debt they've accumulated. What tips do you have, Chris Palmer, for dealing with college debt in the real world?
Well, it's a terrible problem. It's a shockingly bad problem. So many students, are in debt, and it's really fettering. Really restricts people's lives. It stops them starting their lives. Stops them being able to buy a home, and so on. It's really a major national problem that needs attention at the federal level, and. All you can do is get good at things like doing well in job interviews so you maximize your chance of being hired and earning a decent salary so that you can gradually pay off that debt and get rid of the debt. So a couple of key points here, John. One is you want to, before you go for a job interview, be prepared and practice. Get your parents or a friend or a professor to throw some questions at you and simulate what an interview will be like. So when you get to the real thing, you are know, accustomed to the questions and know what to say, and they're used to saying it. And then the other thing is to go, dress properly. And one of the problems is so many students are used to their obsessed with their screens. They've forgotten human how to interact with people. And so being able to walk into an office, put your hand out, shake hands firmly, smile, look the person in the eye, and enter into a relaxed, easy conversation is a skill that some students nowadays don't have, and we need to work on that.
And shine your shoes. Always good advice. My father, good handshake and a shiny pair of shoes will get you a long way in the world. All right, thank you. We're going to take a break for news. We'll be back with more advice from Chris Palmer for graduates. Show up on time. You know, I like that one. That's a great one. 800-642-1234, the number to call. John Munson in for Joy Cardine. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Graduating from college. Now what do you do? Well, we're talking about that this morning with Chris Palmer, film and media arts professor at American University. He's also a speaker, wildlife film producer. More importantly to our current discussion, he's the author of a new book titled, Now What, Grad? Your Path to Success After College. And Chris, as I expected, our phone lines are full. We should probably take some of these calls. I think there's some great advice here and some excellent questions. Brian, in Wauwatosa, you'll be first. Brian, go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call. I was just calling in to reflect on my experience after graduating. Made the tough decision of not going into my field, of which I had my degree in. And it took some time to get there, but after I realized that I've got a lot of useful skills to use in almost any field, I just kind of took my experiences from my college career and am now using them in another field.
Okay. So don't be afraid to learn to use the skills you learn in college in a field other than the one you plan to be in.
Absolutely. Do not be afraid to use those skills because they're useful in anything. You learn a lot of important skills with people, with, you know, building relationships with customers or whatever
sure.
it might be. And
okay.
Just don't
Brian,
be afraid.
Excellent, Brian. Thank you. Chris?
Yes, Brian, thank you for that comment. And I think that you make a very good point, you know, that we're learning all the time. We need to be lifelong learners, constantly picking up all sorts of skills. And you're right, you can use skills that picked up in one career path and use them in another. And Brian, the thing that another thing you've pointed out here is that people are going to change careers. I myself have changed careers about 6 or 7 times in my life. It's going to happen more and more. No longer are people going to join IBM or General Motors and stay there for all their lives. You know, that's not going to happen so nearly so much as it used to. So I think constant learning. When you're in your first job, work. You know, if you're working 9 to 5, take advantage of the evenings and weekends to read, to study, to learn new skills all the time. This is a key to success. Never stop learning.
Well, and how many 18-year-olds really know what they want to do?
Very. You. This is a big challenge, John. And you might even put the question another way: how many 65-year-olds know what they want to do? I mean, it's not easy to work out what you want to get from life, and designing your life for success is a real challenge. One thing that I recommend strongly to people is to create a personal mission statement. And in my book, Now What, Grad, there are lots of examples of these, and I tell people how to do it.
Can you give me an example of what a personal mission statement would look like?
Yes, a personal mission statement could be a sentence, or it could be 4 pages. Mine is 5 pages long, but it could be short. It could be as the wonderful Stephen R. Covey once said, you know, it could simply be to love, to laugh, to live, to leave a legacy. legacy. I mean, that could be a mission statement. It's what inspires you to live the best kind of life you want to live. What brings out your full potential as a human being? By the way, people can get it from my book, but also they can get it on my website, chrispalmeronline.com, chrispalmeronline.com, and find examples of personal mission statements. It's a very powerful way of trying to work out what you want to do, to find out what you want to do with your life. It's not, you know, it's important to think through what really matters to you. What do you care deeply about? Because this can shape what kind of career you want to pursue.
Absolutely. 800-642-1234. Let's take another call. We'll go to Brittany, who's calling us from Rice Lake, Wisconsin. Brittany, good morning. Thanks for joining us on the Joy Cardine Show.
Good morning. Thank you so much for taking my call. I currently work for the UW Colleges as the Associate Dean for Student Affairs, and I would love to give some advice for our recent grads. One of the most important things that I think you can do is be engaged and active in your education. I know personally I was hired to work for the UW system prior to receiving my bachelor's degree because of my involvement with my academic advisor, my education, and working closely with my professors. And I have also hired former students prior to earning their bachelor's degrees because of how they engaged in their work-study jobs. They were active as campus leaders, and they really took the initiative to ask questions and be engaged in many campus events.
Brittany, thank you so much for calling in, and thank you for your work as an Associate Dean for Student Affairs. I think that's wonderful, and the point you make is so important. Employers want to hire people who are engaged, who are interested, who are enthusiastic, you know, who are hardworking, who are reliable, who are trustworthy and collaborative. All these characteristics of highly professional people. So I would say to students, as you have just said, that everything you do is important. When you're interacting with people, show your enthusiasm. Look people in the eye. Show your best characteristics. Always work hard and as we said at the very beginning, show up on time, dressed appropriately. And do extra work when you need to meet deadlines. All these things show you up as a top professional and as someone who employers want to hire. So, Brittany, thank you for your point about the importance of engagement.
Brittany, thanks for your call. April writes on Facebook, with some advice for high school grads, consider the job market and future prospects before picking a major. Find something you love for which there is also a need. It's not too early to start thinking about marketing yourself even when you graduate from high school, is it?
What a great point. April, thank you so much for making that point. No, that's right. And my book, Now What Grad, is actually very useful for high school students. And yes, even at the age of 16, 17, 18, you want to start thinking about what you might do with your life. And sometimes it's hard to answer that question, as we were just saying. And one thing to think about is, what did you do when you were a little kid? When you were 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 or 8, what things really excited you? And think back to that. And because sometimes we lose track of what we really care about. We're influenced by our parents, by our professors. And what we really need to think is, what is deeply matters to us, and try to articulate what that is. And as I say, looking back to what you did as a child can sometimes be a clue to what you care about, and it'll enable you to find a career which is rewarding. But yeah, April, you're quite right. It's never too early to think about this, even at high school.
Let's see, 4 and 5. I think I was mostly engaged in figuring out new ways to get at the cookie jar. Chris Palmer, we keep on hearing that the job market is improving. How do you see that impacting graduates?
Well, there is some signs of that, but it's still incredibly hard, and one cannot be complacent or self-satisfied. I mean, honestly, John, it is hard. It is hard to get a job. I mean, that's the brutal fact of life. And even though the job market is improving, there's some indications of that. I would say that you really have to do everything, you know, our callers like Brittany and April and Brian, all of them have made good points. And I would say students in college or students even in high school should be thinking about what they need to do to improve. Parents and professors need to do more to help our students get ready for the real world. Help them not just with their technical knowledge and their grades, but help them with their professional demeanor, and so that when they apply for jobs, they're more likely to get them. The more we can help our students show enthusiasm, have good people skills, have good communication skills, have them good at critical thinking, at problem solving, these are the characteristics that employers are looking for.
Here's a comment from David on Facebook who says, looking back, I wish that I had had more confidence that I would succeed, worry less, and spend more time preparing for the next goal. How do you build confidence to believe that you can succeed in the real world?
David, thank you so much. That's such a good point. A lot of students feel diffident. They feel, oh my gosh, why would anyone hire me? And it is a problem. And one thing I would suggest is that you go to your career center or a professor that is nurturing and caring, and say to them, privately, if you like, or confidentially, look, I don't feel confident. You know, I don't feel I can speak up. I don't feel that way. Please, can you help me? And there are, you'll find adults will love to help you, bend over backwards to help build your confidence. And you can build your confidence by practicing. I mean, one thing is to act confident, even if you don't feel confident. And then the other thing, you can practice answering questions, practice going up to people you don't know and entering into a conversation with them. You know, there are things you can practice to build your confidence. But the biggest booster of all in confidence is to have skills. You know, skills, so you're able to do things. You're able to offer value to other people.
Well, and be prepared to face some rejection, because there are a lot of people looking for work. You're competing not just with other graduates, but maybe some older people who are returning to the workforce, or some of the people who got laid off in the last recession who are now coming back into the job market and getting back into work. Who have maybe more experience than you do. So you may experience a lot of rejection, but you have to keep going.
Such a good point, John. That's right. That was the point I made earlier about being prepared to accept failure. Yes, rejection is going to happen. Failure is going to happen, and you need to pick yourself up and keep going. Failing at something does not mean you're a failure, as I said earlier. So, yeah, be prepared for rejection. And, in fact, welcome it, because this means you're learning. Every time you practice an interview, every time you do an interview, even if you don't do well and don't get the job, the practice is going to help you do better next time. So put yourself out there and make yourself vulnerable. I mean, this is the thing. You're making yourself vulnerable, and that's a tough thing to do, but it's important.
We have a call from Tony in Fenimore next. Tony, thanks a lot for joining us on the Joy Cardine Show today.
Thank you for taking my call.
Go ahead.
I'm actually a non-typical student, or I used to be. I graduated a couple of years back, and when I went to college, I got laid off from the last recession, like you were just talking about. And I heard this phrase, and it was kind of stupid where I heard it from, but it put me in a mindset all the way through school, and the phrase was, your focus determines your reality. And I heard it from a Star Wars movie, so tells you where I...
A lot of wisdom there. So how did that manifest itself for you, and how did that work out?
It basically made me think, you know, no matter what I'm doing, where I'm at, what I focus on is how I'm going to succeed. If I think I'm not going to succeed, I'm not going to. If I think I'm going to succeed, I will. And so it really narrowed my focus, and it made me concentrate. It made my end goal in my sights.
John, go ahead.
You treated your education like a job, you told our screener.
Exactly, yes. So, and I've always been a good worker, so I've always treated my, when I went to school, I treated it like it was my job to get a better education for me and my family.
All right.
So we're doing really good now.
Tony, I'm so happy to hear your voice and your story, and I commend you. You sound like an excellent person, and I love that. Your focus determines your reality. And I love the fact you got it from a movie. And, you know, that's one of the keys to life, I think, is to go to movies, read books, and look for things that can inspire you. By focusing on that phrase, your focus determines your reality, you help keep you on track. It helped you be successful, and I think you should put that into your personal mission statement and read it. So it's right there in front of center as you plan each week ahead of you. And I commend you for doing that. All of us need to surround ourselves with inspiring practices and thoughts. And so you did that. I commend you.
Do or do not. There is no try.
That's another excellent one.
Let's go to Ron in East Troy next. Ron, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. My son is year post-graduation with a degree in sociology. And in that year, he joined AmeriCorps, which is just a super way to hack down your college debt. He's in the process of re-upping for a second year in AmeriCorps, which is great, again, for the debt. But I'm wondering how employers and how that affects his future prospects. Is that a positive thing or a neutral thing?
I think it's a positive thing. Oh, my gosh. When I meet people who've been in AmeriCorps or the Peace Corps or any of these wonderful things, my estimation of them just rises precipitously. I mean, in other words, I think very highly of people who've done this. So I think your son is, as long as he's happy and learning and feel it's the right thing to, I definitely encourage him. I think that's wonderful. I think it's going to look great on his resume. He's learning about himself. He's facing a challenging, it's a challenging job. So I think it's all good.
Ron, thanks for that call. I'm just going to throw in something here that I learned myself in 22 years of teaching at the university level, both full and part-time, and that is when you go to class, make sure you learn something. Don't focus on your grades. Focus on what you can learn from the professor that's offering the course. I saw a lot of students, they were worried about their grade, they're worried about what they were going to do on the next test. And they would say, well, how can I get an A? And I said, well, I think you just blew it because, you know, why don't you focus on learning something and the grades will happen?
You know, John, I love that point. I know professors loathe grade grubbers. They love students who want to learn, who sit in the front, who ask questions, who stay afterwards and ask questions and probe and are constantly learning and challenging themselves and thinking critically. This is what professors love to see. And, you know, this leads me to make another point, John, which is that students need to get to know their professors so that when they ask that professor for a letter of recommendation, the professor is enthusiastic to do it. It's amazing how many students get through college, have failed to get to know any professors, and therefore are not in a good position to ask a professor for a letter of recommendation. So get to know your professors and don't be a great grubber. Be someone who loves to learn and probe the issues and ask serious questions.
And the bartender at the local pub is probably not going to be able to give you a very good reference. We'll continue our conversation with Chris Palmer in just a moment. We're going to break for the news, and then we'll come back and get some more advice from Chris Palmer, who is the author of Now What Grad? Your Path to Success After College. This is the owner's manual you wish that you had so that you could navigate your life after graduation. Chris Palmer, a film and media arts professor at American University, is also a speaker and wildlife film producer. What's your question for Chris Palmer, or what's your advice for graduates? What worked for you when you got out of school? 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Boy, we've had some great calls this hour. Let's see if we can get some more in before the end of the hour. You can send an email, talk@wpr.org. talk@wpr.org. You can also find the Joy Cardine Show on Facebook. I know we've got a great email to read right after the break. We'll go to that. And we'll get some more of your calls at 800-642-1234. John Munson in for Joy Cardine today. Joy is back on Monday. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Graduation day, well, might be the best day of your life. You're going to have a big party. There'll be cake and lots of backslapping and congratulations, envelopes with cards in them, hopefully some cash inside the card. Well, put that aside. You probably need it. What do you do after you graduate? Sort of, now what? Well, that's the title of a new book, Now What, Grad? Your Path to Success After College. We're fortunate to have the author of that book, Chris Palmer, with us. He's answering your questions and giving you some tips about how to make life work, how to make a success of yourself once you've got that degree in hand. We're taking phone calls and emails. Phone number is 800-642-1234. Email address is talk@wpr.org. You can also find the Joy Cardine Show on Facebook. Chris Palmer, we had an email from Bill in Spring Green. He has some advice. He says he thinks people miss the boat by not treating education like their own first major investment. Treat it like an investment in yourself. Well, that rings pretty true. I mean, you're spending all that money. You should treat it like an investment, shouldn't you?
Absolutely, Bill. If you're listening, excellent point. Yeah, people need to take it extremely seriously. There's a lot of money involved, and you're getting into debt, and so you need to look at it and how to get the best return on that investment, ROI. Very good way to think about it, I think. And it just leads again to these fundamental things we've been talking about, the importance of perseverance, tenacity, diligence, being creative, these basic approaches to life. Going back to, I think if people focus on fundamentals, they can do better in life than if they're focusing on the more superficial aspects of getting high grades. So we focus more on being enthusiastic, of being energetic, of working, of moving with alacrity and energy. That's going to help you than being a grade grubber.
You know, we talk a lot about success, Chris, but tell me, what does success look like? How do you define success?
Well, I think success is obviously getting a job is part of success, but it is only part of success. So when I think of success, John, I'm thinking of both in your private life and personal life and in your professional life. So success in life is, you know, you don't want to be one of these CEOs who earns $1 million a year and is extolled as an excellent CEO, comes home, and you have a terrible relationship with your 17-year-old daughter. That is not a successful life. A success for me is having a good family life, friends, being mentally and emotionally, spiritually, and physically fit. So success is much more than a job, but getting a job is part of success. We all need to be financially fit. You know, you need to earn money.
And we need to eat, and probably something other than ramen noodles. We have an email from Amy. Amy writes, get help with your resume and cover letter. Visit your local workforce development site. They are there to help.
Excellent point, Amy. Thanks so much for making that. And let me just add to that, which is people often don't realize that the cover letter is as important as the resume. People pour so much effort into the resume, into polishing their resume, but the cover letter is in many ways more important because that's where you show that you are a creative, fun, you know, interesting person. Don't start your letter, dear sir. No. Start the letter, dear, and use that name, dear Mr. Smith, if you can find the name of the person, and make it personal and show your enthusiasm for the job. Really work on that cover letter to make it portray the real person you are. Don't make it dull and mundane and banal. That's not going to get you the job.
You know, and I put off asking this question. How do you overcome procrastination?
Yes. Good.
What I did there, right? Okay.
Yeah. No, very good. Well, you know, procrastination, people procrastinate because it rewards them. They it helps them in some way. And it's not good. You don't want to be a procrastinator. You want to be somebody who moves fast and get things done on time. You don't want to be one of the people who has, you know, leaves things to the last minute and then has 2 hours to write a three-page report. That's no good. No. So procrastination is a problem, and I have a whole chapter in my book, Now What, Grad, on how to deal with procrastination. But it is a major problem for people.
Give us one tip.
Well, one tip is realize the benefits of getting it done. Really focus. Think about it. If I get this done, I'm going to please my boss. I'm going to look good. Whatever it is, think about the benefits that are going to accrue to you by not procrastinating. Focus on those benefits. Feel them viscerally in your body and get to work.
Excellent advice. Let's take some calls here before we run out of time. Jerry is with us from Glendale. Jerry, thanks for joining us on the Joy Cardine Show.
Good morning. I'm a retired university professor, and I think it's important to remind students that they should first check with the person that they would like to be their professional reference to find out if they're willing to do that, and secondly, to determine if that person is going to be able to give them a good reference. Many times I've gotten calls, I've gotten emails from employers regarding former students that I've worked with, and the student has never contacted me to check out if I'm willing to be a reference. And also, there's quite a few students that I wouldn't be able to give, ethically give, a good reference to. Just a couple of thoughts for students as they step out into the employment world.
Jerry, those are excellent comments. I totally endorse them. Yes, get to know your professors. Ask permission, as you just said. Say to them, may I use you as a reference? That's terrible just to give a professor's name without alerting them. And then, yes, make sure the reference is going to be a glowing one. And that's one. It leads me back to a point I made earlier, Jerry, about the importance, if you're a student, get to know your professors. Go and see them during office hours. This is important. That's important.
Okay, Jerry, great advice. I get that, too, still, from students, and let's see, who was that? They didn't ask first. I didn't have a chance to research what my relationship was. All of a sudden, I'm on the phone with somebody, and it can be very awkward. Let's go to Nancy in Grafton next. Nancy, hello.
Well, good morning. I think it's wonderful to go get a college education, but I'll tell you one thing. Not everybody is suited for that, and there is nothing wrong with somebody who's interested in the trades. Now, the unions do have wonderful training, exercises, teaching, and, you know, you get paid for this, and you get a retirement after a while. You get benefits. You got your health insurance. And there's a lot of wonderful things about being able to work with your hands. There's nothing degrading about that, and you can make a doggone good living, and you're not going to have a whole lot of debt to pay at the end of your, 5 years, 10 years, whatever it is.
Well,
because
Nancy,
you're earning money.
Nancy, that's a great point, and Wisconsin is blessed to have a lot of really great technical colleges and industry. They're telling us we need more people in the skilled trades, and it's a great opportunity to make some money if that's where your interests lie. Chris Palmer?
Yeah, I totally agree. Nancy, thank you so much for making that point. Yes, college education is not for everybody, and working with your hands, living an honorable life, making things, carpentry, whatever, this is a making cars, whatever. This is a great way to live a life, and this goes back to the point made earlier about really finding out what matters to you, I just endorse what you said so strongly. Thank you.
Let's take another call here from Earl, who's calling us from Medford. Earl, hello. Thanks for joining us.
Yes, great topic. I just wanted to tell the job aspirants, do something or get into something that you like to do. I love to write, and so I got into journalism and written journalism, radio journalism. Just get in something you like. They were pushing in engineering back then, Sputnik and all that, and I didn't like that. I liked journalism.
Yeah. And you got into it. Earl, thanks. I'm glad you got to do something you like. Chris Palmer, we're almost out of time. I wanted to ask you if there was some really critical piece of information you wanted to share that we hadn't talked about yet.
I think the critical thing is to just to repeat, not to be afraid of failure. The other thing is to write a personal mission statement. The other thing is to build on what Earl just said, to really find out what matters deeply to you. In Earl's case, it was writing, not engineering, and everybody has their own unique answer to that question. The other thing I would say is diligence, the hard work. You never see this on television or in soap operas or Downton Abbey. You never see this in popular culture. But working hard, being diligent, is something that is in some ways a lost art. And I would say that if people can work hard, they will find success if they are diligent and persevering and tenacious. So I would encourage that.
Well, and one piece of advice that we got from Gary on Facebook that I wanted you to respond to. We've got about a minute left here. Be prepared to compromise. You need to be flexible about and take things as they come, and opportunities are where you find them.
Well, Gary, thanks for making that point. Yes, and beggars can't be choosers. When you start your career, you got to do things that you may not always enjoy. So, yeah, do everything even if you're not enjoying the job, do your best to do well at it, and then work your way up the ladder. So, yes, you have to compromise. I agree, Gary.
Well, and one piece of advice my father gave me was you've got two ears and two eyes and one mouth, so make sure you do more observing and listening than talking.
Oh, my gosh. The power of listening is so important. Your dad was very wise, and I remember the point about polishing your shoes, too. So,
yep.
So you were lucky to have a good dad.
I did. I had a wonderful father. Chris Palmer, thank you so much for sharing this book with us and this time this morning. Great advice. I'm hoping our grads are fully equipped now to go out and take on the world.
So happy to be with you, John. Thanks for the great calls. Thanks for the great questions from you, and I hope people enjoy the book, Now What, Grad. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. Chris Palmer is a film and media arts professor at American University. He's a speaker, wildlife film producer, and, of course, the author of Now What, Grad? Your Path to Success After College. Thanks a lot for listening and for calling in with all those great questions this hour. This was exciting. Marika Saval and Niaja Ellison and Bill Martins and just a whole host of people helped produce this program. Brian Shasso, it takes a village to make a talk show. John Munson in for Joy Cardine. Joy will be back on Monday, and I'll be sleeping in. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Stick around. Week in Review is next.